Welcome back to another episode of Toys on Tap. This week we are back with Manny. He comes on, tells us how his big first show as he is a toy creator now went with DesignerCon, and now he's headed into Assembly Required and all the cool stuff that is going on with that. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can like, follow, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. If you want to follow us, all socials at Toys on Tap. And if you want to support the show even more and get episodes of the nitty gritty, like this week's nitty gritty, you want extra stuff happening over there, patreon.com/toysontap. You'll get extra stuff. You'll support the show for as little as a dollar. For as little as $3, you get the extra episodes. It means the world, and I hope that it doesn't break your bank. Now let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap.
So a buddy of mine, they needed another designer at my job, and a friend of mine who was local, we brought him in, so he's been carpooling with me. So I actually have somebody to take all of the crazy designer bees out of my brain and spit them at somebody, you know, before I get to work. And the thing we were talking about is, bro, some designers weren't built to be. We can't be designer P.T. Barnum, freaking, you know, multimedia man, you know, social media manager, and all, like, it's too much, bro. You can't, like, hold a paintbrush microphone in one hand and then grow extra hands, and then suddenly you're, like, ringmaster and everything else. You can't do it. Yeah. But you have taste. You, sir, have taste. You have an audience. You have a designer's mind. And you have other things. So you're not... It isn't the complaint that you had last time we spoke where you were like, I get 10 pieces in and I'm like, I can't with this. Why am I doing this? Why did I do this to myself? You can't do that either. Not many of us were built for that.
Yeah. And I mean, I fixed it by letting the factory do it. So there's little parts that I get to wash my hands of and not have any.
Dude, there's trade-offs. There's trade-offs. When I think it was EXT Toys was on, who's somebody I'm you know, he's released the information I'm doing some stuff for, some little artwork stuff for. He was like, no, they can send it to your house and you get a box of left arms, right arms, and all this stuff. I was just like, I don't even think I have that much patience. Maybe the price difference is enough that I will, you know, buy friends a bunch of freaking pizza and just say, here's three heat guns. Let's go to town and put these things together. But listen, man. So last time we talked.
Well, hold on. Before we jump in.
Okay, tell me.
Like always, introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do. We almost bypassed that part.
Well, you know, I am old man Manny Cartoon, Manny Cartoon Studio on Instagram. I still consider myself very new to the designer toy market, but I've been a designer for 20 plus years professionally, doing conventions since 2003, in the southeast, and I'm new to the toy market, and I'm producing lots of dumb vintagey inspired robots and space stuff.
Heck yeah. All right. Yeah. I didn't mean to cut you off. Tell me about last time we talked,
I was like, I don't know how I'm going to produce anything. I don't know how I'm going to make anything. I don't know how I'm going to do anything. And the main thing was that I started it's hard to trust people. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have to open yourself up to it. And that was a mission. And that was opening yourself up to trusting people, but also admitting when you needed help, which is something I think you've spoken about at length as well. like understanding and taking on people who can help you and are willing to help you and are better at doing certain things than you are. You can fight with a task, or you can have somebody help you through something. A big figure in my sort of toy development was Killer Kawaii, who's a part of the community. She was very helpful in like kind of guiding me through some stuff and like laid a bunch of pearls at me as far as like collector mindset and a bunch of stuff. She was really helpful in helping me out. Early on, I reached out to Ghost Fox. And I think last time we spoke, I don't think I had shown anything at Ghost Fox, but I was part of one of their gallery shows. And at the last minute, something happened and the only people who had printed for me were not available. So I opened up and was like, hey, I can't because I don't have anybody who can print for me. And Murderbird, I don't know if you're familiar with Murderbird, he stepped up and was extremely giving of his time and helpful, and we partnered up on a couple of pieces and stuff over that time. And he helped me get an early prototype of this guy out. So one of the first things I put out into the world, I think that other people got to hold in their hands, was the first version of my what I would come to call my Mr. Gumball.
Yeah.
So he's he's hollow on the inside of his head, and his little hat is a little like cap.
Awesome.
And it all fits together, and there's little balls in there and everything. And the first version of him was like solid, and I painted him by hand, and I grabbed a bunch of stuff from like Hobby Lobby and put it together myself and sent it out to the gallery, and that was fun. And as time progressed, I started sort of refining my characters and stuff like that, and showing stuff off. And it's been a cool year of evolution, culminating in where we got to actually meet face to face at DCon in November.
So, yeah. Which that was your first DCon.
Yes. Right?
Yeah. And
my first West Coast show, my first DCon, a big in-person introduction into the toy scene.
Yeah. I mean, the last time we talked a lot about your packaging, because the things that you were building and making and packaging were insane. Like how you were taking, it's almost like, Dapper Notes. Like the process videos that he takes, or whoever they are, take to make notebooks and stuff. You were doing this kind of stuff with packaging of stickers and packaging of pins, and it was so creative, and it was just an incredible thing to see. And then to go from that point to toy production, toy painting, and flying across the U.S. To then do a show, especially a giant show like DesignerCon, when you hadn't ever done it before, and then throwing like yourself full bore into that was insane. Like, tell me the lead up to DesignerCon. What is that like for you?
So the slow ball roll that leads us to DCon was, I'd done a couple of things for Ghost Fox for their gallery shows. And I had developed, I'd been pushing myself to develop my own characters and the sculpts and whatever. And I kept hearing, oh, you know, DCon's really hard to get into. And
– Godzilla!
It looks like Godzilla, but due to international copyright laws, it's not.
Still, we should run like it is Godzilla!
Though it isn't.
The newest kaiju is about to stomp its way onto the scene.
What's that smell?
Meet Barfy. The sludge-spewing kaiju inspired by the lizard we all know and love. Coming from the brain of Bootleg Toy Co. and brought to life by Toys on Tap. This monstrosity will come in at a massive 6 inches in 3 styles. 1 blank white and 2 colorways exclusive to Toys on Tap. The first colorway is Barfy's natural colors. And the second is... That's right, Reptar colorway.
Now that's entertainment!
This monstrosity will arrive in a clear box with a backer that doubles as a backdrop for your figure. Barfy arrives on the scene soon. You don't want to miss this, but remember, stay out of the way of the sludge.
Decon's really this and that and the other thing. And I was like, okay, no, I'd prepared myself. I'd steeled myself from the whole thing. And then I sent out a thing. I, you know, put in my information and hope for the best, and hadn't really thought about it in a while because I hadn't heard from it. It'd been like a month or so. It was a crazy amount of time. And I remembered something that my wife and I did the first time we had gone to MegaCon here in Orlando. We hadn't even thought about tabling. I was like, I want to go, but I want to show something. So we created a mini comic in a really short period of time and just went off, got a couple, got a bunch of copies made and put them in our bag and took them to the show and handed them out to people and talked to people and was like, why don't we do that?
Yeah.
Screw it. I'm not getting into Decon. Who am I to get into Decon? I'm not going to get into Decon. We'll produce a short run of some toys and take them in a bag and talk to people, you know? And I kid you not, I think that was a Friday. And then Sunday I got an email saying that I got in.
Awesome.
And then that left us close to like 3 months, which sounds like you have tons of time, and it just means you have zero time.
Yeah.
It means you have absolutely zero time. I still haven't figured out how to mold my figures. I need to learn how to lock and key my designs. So what we did was just 3D print everything. So what we ended up doing was a line of different pieces. We started with what I called my chunk figures. So they're little tiny, like McDonald's style versions of my designs. And this was the little junk. And then the little astronaut with his little helmet that comes off.
Yeah.
And, speaking of packaging, I'd done what I could. I've been talking to Fed Up Toys was really helpful, and we were talking back and forth, and I found a mini cupcake box that they fit in fairly well, and then designed packaging that worked for both. So there was art for both on either side, and then it had an artist statement on the back with some other information. And what these represent are artist proofs, because we only did like one or two of any particular colorway. And this was part of this breakthrough was figuring out that I can't paint worth a shit. So like my hand isn't steady enough, and my wife was like, my wife, who is an art teacher, who's been painting with oil since the age of like 9, and who's a full-time art teacher, like immersed in everything and just gung-ho for dumb fun stuff, was like, let me help you. Mm-hmm. And I did a paint mock-up on the iPad, just, you know, brushing paint over like the 3D still, just to show her what I wanted. And I gave her like 7 boxes of Vallejo paints. Mm-hmm. and a bunch of really good brushes, and just let her go to town. And the stuff she produced, brother, like, was out of this world.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
We were off to the races, between prints from Murder Bird, prints from Killer Kauai, and whatever it was. I think she painted like, I think we painted like 150 figures for Decon by hand brush, like. And we got really good advice from people. So we're using this, like, for the figures, we're using this really cool like 4K car gloss, mm-hmm. stuff. And it's truly been just a bunch of people showing me like how to do stuff. And you know, I got really into Warhammer videos, because they come up with like cool stuff. Like, one guy was like, "Oh, silly putty, mm-hmm. it's great for masking." I was like, I would never have thought in a million years. So I went out and bought like 9 silly putty eggs, and they legitimately work beautifully for the kind of masking I need to do. But we did all kinds of, you know, dumb stuff. We did a bunch of fun versions. So we did this is concept sound wave from the toys colorway.
Yeah, it looks great.
And I'm a sucker for Astro Boy. So we did an Astro Boy version. And we did a bunch of them. A bunch of that sold at Decon. And listen, I understand that it was I understand it was a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
I understand there was low attendance. But at the same time that other people were pissed about it and were mad about it and were whatever in their feelings about it, I understand, but I also understand that I would not have gotten in had it not been a rebuilding year. Listen, there's no way they let me in.
Yeah.
No way.
What's cool is that now you're in the rotation, and those that went the year prior get invited back. I think that's how that works.
Yes. It seems that way. It seems that way.
And I mean, I love when people do that. That's what made me laugh when, before you're about to say, like, listen, I know, just listen. It was a rebuilding year, I guess. I don't know. I haven't talked to Ben. I don't really know Ben, and haven't talked to him about anything that goes on with it, but it did feel different. I can tell you that. I think realistically, there were parts of it that were like, because I talked to Luke when this comes. I mean, Luke is going on this week, and I talked to him last week, and we, in talking about DesignerCon, it felt different for him, and he's a bigger artist, and he sells a lot of stuff, and it felt different for a lot of artists I did talk to. But this year was fun in that it gave me an opportunity. The thing that I fear at DesignerCon always is taking people away from sales and stuff. But what this did was it gave me an opportunity
You didn't take the bigger guys away from sales this year, I think.
Right. Like I got to just hang out and talk to them and like and have more fun and joke and do that kind of stuff. Because I was only there for Saturday. I flew in, flew out. Wow. Yeah. And so it was just a quick trip for me. But you go for this first year, you take a dive, you go first, like full bore into it. Kind of describe for me your success metrics. How do we know that this was successful for you? How do you build that into yourself, your wife, as an artist? Like, what does that look like for you?
Listen, when I used to do cons, I hated people who would say, oh, I did really well. I made beer and pizza money. Listen.
Yeah.
We're not 12. Like, get over that. Did I do gangbusters? No. I hate to say I covered table and make it sound like anything special. But it was my first year at a crowded show full of tons of really good artists. And the fact that enough people decided to drop cash on me that I paid for what has been to date the most expensive table I think I've bought in a while is not nothing.
And to pay for a table, tables are not cheap there. So yeah. A lot of people dropped cash.
And I don't. Art is my livelihood, mm-hmm. in that my full-time job paycheck comes from, I come in, I clock in, I do design and illustration work, and they give me a check for it. Mm-hmm. My side hustle is teaching art. Again, I teach art and instill the love of this thing I love into young minds, and they give me a check.
An empire of blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 3.75 inch or 1/18 scale. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now sponsors Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSONTAP 10.
Empire Blisters. Empire Blisters.
Right? I make my money from art, but I did not need the con to live. I was not playing with house money.
Right, right.
I equate it to, at the level that I am at, because I am still like underground at this point, I am the guy who needs to relax, buys good clubs, you know, and a couple of golf shirts and whatever, and goes to the municipal court to play. Mm-hmm. I went to a nice golf course and had a fine game. I'm not playing in the Masters. I'm not playing for a trophy. I'm not playing for the green jacket. I did fine.
Yeah.
I also got amazing FaceTime with Mile High and his wife, who are lovely human beings. I got great FaceTime with Jay, the guy who does Spray Skull. Is it Jason?
No, I don't know.
The guy who does the Spray Skull collabs and all that stuff. Super nice guy. I got FaceTime with a lot of great people. I spoke to, bro, I held court in front of Kaleidos, mm-hmm. which was a new toy thing, and talked to them because we had this conversation last time. I don't collect toys.
Right.
I tried. Listen, dude, I bought a pair of freaking Mr. Bones for my birthday.
Yeah.
And I opened them up and I was like, this is okay. I guess I open up these boxes thinking I'm going to feel something.
Yeah.
Wanting to feel something like, okay, this is what I get it. This is awesome. This is so well designed. It's amazing. They're nice. Mm-hmm. It goes over my head. I'm not built that way.
Yeah,
I guess. But I talked to the Kaleidos folks because their designs, like, hit me in the center of my chest. Like, they were really just next level really cool, and they were really cool people, and it was like their first time as a company out there. So we spent a good amount of time at the con. I spent some time talking to them, and they were really, really nice, and just that FaceTime is something I would not have gotten otherwise.
Yeah. I think you got to, it's cool to hear how you value the FaceTime with these artists. Which is awesome. You got to talk to Paul at Mile High. Like, I spent so much time. I feel what's cool about this podcast and talking to all of you as artists is at the show, Eddie Anaya was sharing a booth with some, I can't remember his name. That guy said, I want to make a Sifubi piece. I don't know who to talk to. So I like walked myself over to Mile High, grabbed a business card from him and took it back over.
Yeah.
And it's just like quick connections to say like, this is the guy you need to go talk to.
Yeah. You know who was great? You know who were fantastic? Hmm. The British Canadian couple that was doing
Collectible Cities.
They were so sweet.
Yeah.
They were so sweet. I bought a Frida for my wife and her collection. So sweet, so nice, so wide-eyed. They enjoyed it. Just a bunch of people like that. That was worth it. And also, as a fan of Astro Boy and as a fan of Spectacle and that kind of design, standing next to an Astro Boy that was friggin' taller than me was really cool.
Yeah.
I don't need much, but that was standing next to that, I was like, damn, that's cool. And
yeah.
I'm never gonna be on that level necessarily. And if that had been the only big display, would have been cool. But there were also like newer IPs that had similar like overgrown bigness to it, and I'm like, this thing, you know, or more appropriately, like my colorway version of him, like real big, sitting on a patch of like AstroTurf, you know, just like this.
Yeah.
I mean,
the dream.
Yeah. Honestly, man. Like, so moving forward, I don't get very bogged down even when I feel positive stuff, but I walked away saying, okay, so I see a path to continue up the mountain, you know?
So you're coming back next year.
Oh, for sure. Coming back next year, but also like thinking differently also. Yeah. Like, so I have this little guy, my little Volt figure.
Yeah.
And if you see, he's got those little things on his legs. Those are based on, leg braces, which I wore as a kid. And my head is like, I don't necessarily want to be, I don't know that my stuff makes sense in a toy store, but would I want to take a bunch of really cool, like vinyl blanks and a bunch of like markers and stuff of this figure to like a children's hospital and like do it up and have fun, like do an afternoon with them? Yeah. I have an arcade figure that I did that we did a few of, and a friend of mine owns an arcade. We want to go do, he also has an area that's like a hobby area, Flynn's Arcade out here near me. And they have like a hobby area where people like paint Gundam and do all kinds of stuff. We're trying to get the logistics down to have, you know, a big-ish print of the thing that people can buy blanks of, and we'll supply like, you know, paint and whatever and some instruction, because my wife does live paint events, and we want to go do live paint events of a robot you know, video game arcade figure in a video game arcade, you know. You know, I want to do more stuff with my Gumball guy, you know, in the right spot. I think he would be, you know, really neat looking. He would make a lot of, like, I think it would be a lot of, it would be really cool. You know, I definitely want to do more with the robot, with my Junkatron, because people really like him. Of all of anything, the thing that sold the best, I think, were the little chunky blanks, were the little chunky versions of him.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good figure. I think the hard part is being, now that I've gone to Designer Con, I think 3 years or 4 years in a row, I think three, it's like, I wish I could tell everyone, like, don't get caught up in, like, how big the figure is, or don't get caught up in, like, oh, it doesn't look like this person's or whatever. There are thousands of people that are going to walk through Designer Con.
Yeah.
And everyone is somebody's Banksy.
Yeah.
So you are going to have things on your table that may not connect to a lot of people, or it may go nuts.
Mm-hmm. Like, you probably haven't spoken to Vandal, right? You know who Vandal is?
I do know Vandal, and I have been trying to get him. This is, hey, let's do a pause and a gripe moment, because I've tried to get Vandal on the podcast several times. So Vandal, if you're listening, damn it, come on the podcast.
Yeah.
He's like, his personality type through Instagram is so funny, and I want him on the podcast, and his work is good, and it's factory produced. Rant over. Was he there at DesignerCon?
No, he secretly dropped off some figures and dipped, but I have this one, and you know, I helped him out with a little bit of design, right? I don't remember if I had done that by the time you and I spoke.
I did not know that.
So are you aware of his 7-Eleven figure?
Same one you're holding, correct?
No, this is the Arizona Iced Tea.
Right, and then it's that figure just in a 7-Eleven colorway.
Yeah.
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 I'm
a little puppy. I come up with really good ideas for other people, and I can be a nuisance. And I hit him up one day and was like,
"We all can.
You're doing all these really cool colorways. Have you thought about 7-Eleven?" He says, "Yes, but he couldn't crack the logo." And I said, "One moment, please." So we got to do that, and he tagged me on all the stuff when it came out, and it's just, all I did was the logo, but I'm really proud of the fact that it came out. Like, the figure looks amazing, and I'll be getting one.
I gotta pull it up real quick now that we're talking about it.
Yeah,
I mean, I think
his stuff is awesome, and he's, you know, not to tell secrets out of whatever, but he's, you know, way nicer than I think some people think he might be, for whatever reason. I think people, I think his personality might rub people the wrong way, but I think there's more to it than that.
Oh, you did super well on that logo.
Thank you. But yeah, he's a good cat, you know, and he's doing a bunch of stuff now. He's doing a bunch of other stuff now. With some apparel stuff that he's like dropped images of and whatever, you know, everybody is somebody, and it's worth, listen, the thing I've been doing for years and the thing that I continue to do with your podcast was, I would listen to the episode. If I liked the story, I would hit that person up. I did it with Mile High, and I was able to say, yeah, you probably don't remember me, but when you did the episode of Toys on Tap, I hit you up and just said, hey, I really, you know, dig what you had to say and all that stuff. And hit, you know, the same thing with the couple, the collectible cities.
Collectible cities, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, just a bunch of people that I listen to. EXT, the same deal. I had really enjoyed his Space Yeti, the Squatch, the Space Squatch.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, hey, you know, just, I dig it. I dug you on the podcast. Thanks for going on the podcast and telling your story and whatever. And we talked, you know, for a minute, you know, for a minute or two back and forth. And then something came up and he's able to, like, we're able to do some work on something now, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the few vinyl figures that I do collect when they come out. I have five of them. and they're all blank. They're some of my favorites because of the, like,
yeah,
the lo-fi look to them, and they function and they're well done, and
they're really cool. I'm going to get one of the new blanks for the mech sort of Terminator-y version that he's releasing.
Oh, yeah.
That he posted. I'm not saying anything that he hasn't said. I know he's posted the sketch of the thing that I did, and he's posted, like, the render of that version and stuff. And I want to get a blank of that one just to do a version that is sort of, because he kind of works as sort of part space for my Astro Squad, my Astro Sloth.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of works as a mix of that. And then I want to see if I can, Murder had me get Plumber's Putty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about all I have patience for. Yeah. I don't have patience for anything else. So I want to see if I can, like, sculpt part of the jaw onto that figure that EXT is going to do, and then do the rest of it with just the same sort of paint job. So he works as this mix of both of my characters, and do that in a blank format, I think would be kind of fun.
Yeah. I mean, Tim, he's a great guy. I've talked to him at length through the Space Squatch, and he has General Enos coming out again. He's got a couple drops that have come out with that one, and they're working on the next one. But next time you talk to him, ask him about the his shelf of Space Squatch.
Yeah. He mentioned it on your show. Like,
he usually buys them back if he loves them, and he has so many, and they're so good.
Yeah, it's so freaking cool.
Yeah.
Oh, here's something you might dig, and this is more visual than anything else, but okay, so when we talked last time, I had done the collector's card my Space Squatch with my Astro Sloth in the flamingo floaty.
Yeah.
And then I had done it as a sticker for something else, and I had done it, and I've been doing this little character for like 4 years on and off. So here is the version that some people have in their collection.
Yep.
Right?
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this. Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet. Oh my, we're doomed.
Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude. This felt so good to get. When it came off of my wife's painting desk, you know, getting the blank from Murderbird was really cool.
Yeah.
It was awesome to see, and it took some crazy amounts of jiggering to get the sizing right and to get the helmet to slip on and off without sort of rubbing any of the paint off or anything like that. And when I got the blank in the mail, I was like, oh, this is cool. This feels great. And I gave her the colors, and I was like, you know, go to town, have fun. And when she handed it back to me, she's like, "Are you crying? The hell?" I was like, "Yeah, it's pretty. Like, it's just cool, man."
Yeah, you know? To see your own work to come to life is a different feeling.
Yeah, yeah, it means something. It means something. So,
I mean, we're into this. Like, you have been now making and producing and stuff, and I think that packaging and that kind of stuff was your main, like, you were so good at this. Tell me, like, what's next? What do you got coming on with new packaging styles, or what do you got going on with new illustrations? Side note, you talked so much with Mile High. Is there a Sifubi in your future?
There has to be, dude. He's begging for it.
The Ecto one is the one that should be produced.
I know. I know. I do not want the first mass produced thing of mine to be a piece of fan art. I listen.
Is it fan art? Didn't you design that?
Yeah, it is. But it's fan art of Ghostbusters and the Ecto Cooler.
Yeah.
You know, I did design it. I think I'm the only person ever to make Slimer look like the box for whatever reason. Like, no one has done it. A bunch of the pins that I've seen out there and a bunch of the stickers I've seen out there are just the damn box. And I'm like, it's right there.
Yeah.
But I go back and forth with a few people online that are much smarter at business than I am. And they want the same thing. They want that figure produced. And I understand it. But I've also seen, and I won't name names because there's no point in it, but I've seen makers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they're running into problems on a licensing thing.
Yeah.
It's not that they have trouble selling the figures that they're selling.
Right.
It is a unique problem where he was like, so I was approached by a big toy wholesaler, like a big box store, like to be in stores.
Okay.
The problem is that for the last 2 years or so, he's made a big chunk of his business doing fan art.
Mm-hmm.
With his, he does a really specific form factor, this guy, and he's been doing fan art of things he likes, you know, lots of horror stuff in this form factor,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. You are a small enough producer. No one's going after you. No one's bugging you. It's unique as hell. It's great. The problem is, here's real money for real line of production. You can't do that for a Walmart, a Target, or whatever. So if most of your community is here because you do cool Jason stuff or Freddy stuff or fan arty stuff, if I sell a bunch of this Ecto Cooler thing, my follow-up is my stuff, not their stuff.
Correct.
So they have no interest in me because I'm not going to do a Stay Puft anything. I'm not going to do a Freddy anything. I'm not going to do a Jason anything. I might do some, like, okay, so Vandal has his character, mm-hmm. and then he does not necessarily fan art as much, because he'll do, like, my favorite ones are like the cigarette colorways that he does, the cigarette packaging that he does. And in those cases, it's mostly just a colorway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine, but I'm not gonna, like, my first release shouldn't be this one. it should be this one. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So if I do a Sofubi of my guy, once we have the mold, yeah, I'll do a run. We really liked the way he looked as Grumpy Bear.
Okay.
So I would do a run of 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But my first cannot be, because I can't have it. Like, it's not even, I'm being picky. I'm being an idiot because I know people what? Want it.
Here's the thing that I think that, I just told someone else this today. It is very admirable to keep making art that you like. It is extremely admirable. It is also admirable to make art that makes money. And I think the way that I was talking to this artist, he had said that he posted something that he made and it did really well on Instagram and people wanted it. And then he did something else that didn't do so well. So he went with the first one. And I said, honestly, if you make the things that people want to help fund the things that you want to make, that's a good life to live, regardless if it's your first or second or whatever piece that is.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's going to happen is doors are going to open. And you can't open, like, we've seen it over and over again when people try to step out with their own IP. I mean, not everyone is Peter Gorl. Right. Like he is killer bootlegs. Like he has Phantom Star Killer, an incredible figure that Super 7 picked up. Not everyone can do that.
That I know. Okay. So yeah. Yeah.
But what you can do is produce a figure that, you know, is like incredible and people all see it. And then they say, like, what else is this guy about? And then it's like, well, damn, you want to see some cool packaging? Like, so, damn, you want to see another figure?
I think part of why my brain clicks over into immediately like shutting in.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that my experience when I was doing comic book conventions specifically were what I would term one issue voter fans.
Mm-hmm.
They were fans of Harley Quinn. They were fans of Deadpool. They were fans of X, Y, and Z. They will never transition over to being your fan. They might get a Harley or Deadpool or whatever from you if you do one.
Mm-hmm.
But they will never transition into being necessarily collectors of yours if you are not doing that one character that they love.
Sure.
So my fear is always like, I'll do the Ecto Cooler, and some people who like the 80s will buy it, and some people who like who like Ghostbuster stuff will buy it, and maybe some people left, you know, whatever. But if the next thing I do isn't directly related to those things, those people will not come back. And yes, you are correct in that I will still have their money.
Mm-hmm.
But my fear is, unless you build a business like that, I think this name is Bull Street or Bull Air Bull or Bull Air.
Bull Airs, yeah.
Yeah.
Air Shoes.
Yeah. So unless you build your business on everything I do, brother, everything that man touches is my flavor. Mm-hmm. If I didn't have a size 16 foot and those things weren't as expensive as they were, and I needed to wear like better shoes, like actual, like, you know, hold me together shoes, I would buy a lot of shit from this man. It would cost me a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because he's just hitting all the right notes. Unless your business is just that, that you can say, well, pretty much everything he releases, I know that I'd probably get because, you know, that. You know, it is me being stupid. It is always me turning down money. But I would also really, really, really get upset if I went forward, broke my sort of compass on this and said, you know what? I do need the money. Let's try it. And went forward and got the thing molded and did a run of probably what it would be resin cast.
Okay.
And I would do a short run resin cast of him or whatever. As cool as that would be, it would kill me if it didn't sell, because I would be like, motherfucker. Like, I did the thing that everybody asked for and I thought it would go well.
Yeah, I mean, we're learning quickly that Instagram followers mean nothing, right?
Absolutely.
If we can't convert them. I mean, let me rephrase that. It means a lot, and it means that you have people that like what you do, but it doesn't necessarily mean they like what you do enough to buy what you've got.
It means that people liked you enough at one point to hit follow. It doesn't mean that they've seen any of your stuff, because who knows if the algorithm is showing them anything.
Mm-hmm.
That is the base of that mountain, is that they saw something you did, they liked it enough to hit follow.
Yeah.
Everything after that is this giant roulette wheel of, did they get shown your content this time? If so, did they like it? Great. It goes up a little higher. Did they comment on it? Great. A little higher. Did they share it? Maybe a little higher. Did you make a connection with them so big that they went, I got to get this? That isn't the highest, but it's up there, because we need their money fuel to continue making physical goods.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is physical goods. So, yeah.
I mean, we went on a little fun tangent, but where are you headed with packaging and stuff like that? I don't think we covered that.
Where I'm headed with packaging right now is that I'm going to continue making more of, not the same stuff, but I've got ideas for, you know, more sub figures and whatever. We're doing a show called Assembly Required.
Yeah.
In South Carolina. Have you had them on? North Carolina.
What up, toy nerds? This is Ray.
And Dave. Go check out our brand new YouTube channel, The Toy Rats.
We make toys.
We talk about toys.
We talk about old toys.
And new toys.
And toys that we make.
And we're just a bunch of goofballs. It's a good time.
We make fun of Dave a lot.
I'm all right with that. So, yeah, if you get a chance, go check out Toy Rats on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. You might be.
Yeah, you could. Who knows?
You got to check it out.
Toy Rats. YouTube.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I think it's I only know them as Assembly Required. I think it's Matt Castle, right?
Yeah, I think that's the guy's name.
Yeah, I know about the show. I've had them on. A lot of people – I mean, you're about to get into if Designer Con is like professional designer toys and production pieces and stuff, you're about, like, this is the resin scene at its core, and it's so sick. I love seeing the work that gets put into that. People like Ocular Rhombus, who are producing hundreds of figures for this show.
Dude.
It's like,
that's nuts.
It's insane. They paint them. They do all kinds of incredible stuff. You have people like Pocket Salsa, who are just running with sculpting and printing right now with Topher Toys. Resin Blood, he'll bring his Speed Skull and his other piece, but he'll bring Safubi and Resin. Like, there's so many artists that go to this. It's just never been in the cards for me to get out there because of where it falls.
Listen, I wanted to do another toy show. I wanted to do another show.
Yeah.
I don't like the shows in Florida. It's mostly anime kids, and I just didn't want to do it. So
yeah.
I'm probably not going to fit in with these guys, but it's a toy show, and I wanted to check it out. So we pulled the trigger on it. And, you know, they'll probably – I don't know if anybody's going to look down their nose at the fact that most of my stuff is resin printed and not resin poured.
Nope.
I am just going to do my best and put my best foot forward. In terms of packaging, the fun I had was, and I don't have any of it in front of me, but essentially what we found were these really cool windowed cupcake boxes. Mm. So everything fits inside of cupcake boxes. And then I used my so essentially I bought the windowed cupcake boxes and then created these.
Oh, so yeah, those are great.
They showcase the different figures, the different different figures that'll fit inside of each box. So the chunky ones are kind of fun. So they have that what the chunky figure is all about, as well as, you know, my branding and all this stuff. So it, and it works as a little window. In this case, it's a little window box. Mm-hmm. So they can see inside the thing and see what they're getting. Because we did, literally we did one-offs. I was touting them as artist proofs because we're not going to really repeat the colorways a lot by hand. I took to what you said about painting 10 of these and hating your existence. So we painted
150.
Yeah. We painted 150 different figures.
Yeah.
Basically, like the only repeats are the orange and teal, standard colorways that we were doing. That's what we were doing for packaging, and people really liked it because they walked away with it in a nice little window box that they could see what they bought. Mm-hmm. And stuff. So that was really cool. I know that I want to do more with packaging. My goal was, also to do these little tiny ones. And, we got the prototypes printed. They're a little tough to see, but they're considerably smaller.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I had this weird idea. I was like, I'm gonna make them thin, so they're really thin.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of the old stuff that I had seen, and we were gonna do them in McDonald's apple pie inspired packaging, and I was doing them. The problem is that they're so small, they would need to be painted. We couldn't do them any other way, and my goal was I wanted them to be cheaper.
Mm.
I wanted, you know, essentially like a gachapon style thing. And it didn't quite hit the way I wanted to. So those are back on the shelf. I still have a ton of ideas for packaging. I still know what I want. I still know, you know, what this stuff is going to look like for packaging. But it's growing. It's growing. My thing is still Christmas morning. You know, when you bought the box from me. If you bought them from me by mail, I would stuff them full of really cool stickers and stuff in the window. So the minute that you opened up the box, you saw this thing facing you with a bunch of stickers and the fully, you know, the wrapped graphics around the box and everything else. And, you know, to give you as much of the experience as I could, because it really is about that Christmas morning feel.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Like, it was because of you. I think I have one in my bag. That, like, your spin on packaging made me create my own.
Because did you finally do the nice?
Yeah, and I had it like designed, like I designed it and then had it printed.
Oh,
and
that's beautiful.
And then there's usually a sticker in here.
That's beautiful, man.
And it's just like, you just had me looking at packaging different after we talked, which was cool. And I Like, I absolutely love every aspect of that. And it's like helped in how I want to package other things and how I want to do
like
different
that,
things.
None of that has left me. Like, I'm always collecting really interesting ideas. McDonald's had a thing recently for Christmas that they called the mystery pet.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in this little box. And what it is really cute. It's one for you and one to give away. So there is an interior box with another little toy.
Yeah, it's cool.
That you gift to somebody. And it is such a fun idea for Christmas. Like, I don't even – like, the toy is cute enough. It's fine. It's a little square. Mm-hmm. It's a little nothing. Like, it's like an overgrown keychain. But the idea of it is what I really like. Like, oh, that's really clever. Like, that's really fun. You know, one to gift to someone else and one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the concept of it is really smart. I still collect all of that stuff. I'm still always looking for, like, the where's and why's. And, like, I'm always looking for interesting little bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that... the idea of interesting and smart and storytelling packaging has not left my brain, but the reality of I am on a time constraint, I am in a huge budget constraint, and I'm not putting out 150 or even 15 of the same toy. I can't get a specific box made for each thing. Right. So I have to figure out what I'm doing, you know?
Alibaba is your friend.
I keep hearing that. I keep hearing that, and I will do that. I will do that. The other thing I'm looking into is I would love to make a plush of him as well. Because
that is an expensive go.
I have experience, and I know I do some of this as part of my day job.
Mm-hmm.
So I can actually put this together a lot simpler than some people might be able to.
Mm-hmm.
And are just like, I'm going to draw a cute character and send it to a factory and hope that they can make my figure. I know what I want. I know the dimensions of what I want. And I know, like, not necessarily materials, but I know what I'm looking for. And I can Photoshop together something that they're going to have an easier time with than necessarily this is just my drawing and let's see how well you do.
Yeah.
And translating.
Coming from Designer Con and then going into Assembly Required and then having these plans, what are some things we've learned from one that are going to carry over to the next?
I think I learned what general audiences seem to gravitate to. I think as much as I would have liked people to have liked my astronaut as much as my robot, I think my robot is definitely like the star of the show.
Yeah.
I think that I'm going to continue to evolve my packaging in that sense. I'm going to also continue to grow like the smaller stuff because this is printed in a really sort of pricier resin and it's a bigger figure and it's a bigger piece and it takes more work. So it's more expensive. The smaller ones can be copped from me for 45. And even that is not cheap, but cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be doing more of these. And I have come to like really love the form factor of like the super chunky with the you know, the tiny little arms.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to keep exploring that. And right now, that's as kind of as far as I've come.
Yeah.
I've been in a daze since DCon. You know, so I've been doing some sculpting and some whatevers, but I'm expecting my first order of blanks to come in this weekend, and that's it. Like, we're going to keep going, and I'm going to keep evolving what I'm doing. But as much as my sort of fear brain is like, well, on to the next thing, let's create a bunch more characters. I don't think that's the way. You know, I think I'm going to keep working on these guys and making them better and making the brand stronger and stuff like that. I've got a few t-shirt designs that I'm working on that, that I'm just going to, you know, toss on some shirts and some things, and just going to keep doing more of that stuff. I can tell you, I saw a bunch of like actual like Japanese toys
mm-hmm.
at DCon, and I'm like, I think him in it in proportion to like a Shogun would be really fun with like the giant oversized like funky arms and legs and stuff, and you know, maybe doing my boy up here with instead of like a space helmet, like giving him like the little scarf
mm-hmm.
that you see on a bunch of them, and doing him more in like the hero pose and whatever. Just for fun is probably something I'll have for DCon this year, just for shits and giggles. The people who know my pieces, like my pieces, I think that's going to grow from here to there. I'm going to keep going and doing more stuff, and mostly I'm going to enjoy being like mostly unknown mm-hmm. because there's no pressure. It's yeah. just, you know, getting to play and stuff, because that's actually the part I like the best. You know, I'm bad at making myself famous mm-hmm. and you know, finding those things, but I end up finding people who like my stuff. A lot of customizers like my blanks, so I've been happy to sell the blanks to people. And just that, man. That's what I'm here for. That's the part that makes me happy.
Yeah. When you design in Nomad or in
yeah.
Nomad, mm-hmm. When it comes to painting, is there a reason? And I ask this to a lot of the Nomad sculptors. So you're on the chopping block when, as far as this question goes, for painting, is there a reason you haven't designed paint masks for your figure?
Ignorance, absolutely ignorance. One of the things that is a sort of a goal for this year, twofold.
Yeah.
Learning lock and key, which okay. is very important, which is the printing, so the pieces kind of fits together and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Which makes painting easier. And I want to order a bottle of that that reusable silicone, or it's called like
they sent me a couple
silly knot or something,
yeah,
mask like that to do the paint masks, to play with the paint masks.
That is different than what you think then, because the silly knot that they sent me is silicone to make molds. Are you going to use that for paint masks?
Yeah, you make a mold and you cut away the bit that you want to paint.
Unreal. Huh. That's a good idea.
So I'm dyslexic.
Okay.
So I think differently. I will take bits and pieces of shit that I learn and mash them together and come up with something else. So instead of doing paint masks out of copper, which I have no access to, I'll do it out of something like a silly knot and make a mold.
Yeah.
And then just cut away the bit that I want.
That's smart. 'Cause
that makes more sense.
Yeah, that's really smart. That's a good idea. 'Cause it works pretty well. I've used it. I mean, it's not as good as smooth on, but I mean, smooth on's a crazy, but it does things that smooth on cannot. And the fact that you can like reheat and pour is crazy.
Yeah. I've been talking about that stuff for ages. I haven't pulled the trigger, but after the show, I want to do some of that stuff.
Yeah,
because there is stuff that if I can make a mask of it and then just, you know, but we're painting everything by hand, and I have no interest and no facility and no place to put on an airbrush. So it's going to be a paint mask that we either spray paint to fill or something else. But, you know, I do want to learn that.
Yeah, that is a cool thing. I know that there is a liquid rubber works as paint mask. There's another one that I've heard works, and I can't remember. The issue with this podcast is everyone has their own tips and tricks. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever write them down. I just store them on the episodes and just, but I never go back and listen to them because I don't. But yeah, that's a good idea with silly
night. I keep coming back to Steady Crafton's Sofubi.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Sofubi episode where he talks about making different kind of paint masks with different ways of making paint masks.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I stole it from him. Brother, I don't know anything about what I'm doing here. I am just making stuff up as I go along, which is why my stuff is completely unmoldable unless I learn how to lock and key.
Yeah.
Because I my work is just undercuts because that's the way I designed.
Is it just like, do you need to find the right sculptors to teach you that, or are you just learning it through YouTube or tutorials or what?
A handful of people have offered to kind of show me and have shown me a little bit of what they're talking about. One guy I follow pointed me at and has a whole course on how to create lock and key. I haven't sat down to do it. I need to sit down and do it because it's something I want to do and something I want to learn. And that's just the long and the short of it. I just haven't. I don't have formal training as a 3D sculptor, molder of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
I come specifically from 2D. I was scared of 3D for 20 whole friggin' years until I picked up Nomad, you know? And you know, now I'm just kind of getting my way through it.
Yeah. Which it sounds like you're making it, you're doing it. You're making it
happen.
I'm doing stuff.
is about as much as I can say. I'm doing stuff. Like for instance, so this big old boy is the piece for your thing there.
Which we need to talk about because there's some issues that came out of that I need to send an email to everyone.
Oh dear.
Okay. Nothing bad. Nothing terrible. Yeah. Just a quick pivot in how we're going to function.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's a one-off piece. Most of my figures of this character are going to be this big.
Mm-hmm.
So he is this big and he is solid. So he is heavy as hell.
Yeah.
But, my wife did this friggin' amazing paint job on him and she did this beautiful stuff with the shadows and stuff. And
awesome.
Like this looks like full on ceramic.
Oh, so good.
So when we get to the part where we're going to raffle him off, I think people are going to dig him.
Heck yeah. Well, dude, it's like always killer to have you on because you have a different way of thinking about stuff. And I don't know if we were doing them at the time when we had you on last, but I want to jump over and give you your own nitty gritty episode for new artists. And I want you to kind of speak into that. But before we do that, the last part, like always, is plugging everything you got going on or what you want people to see or hear about for the episode or for you. And so plug away, my guy.
Follow me on Instagram is the main one. There's going to be stuff coming up. I want to do more. I'm on Pop Shop. I'll be doing more Pop Shop stuff. I'll probably be doing some mix of some of my newer characters as pins. I have a lot of pins that exist and stuff like that. So the best way to do it is just give me that follow. Give me that. I think you can become, I don't think like membership or anything, but they do a thing where they tell you when I update. I am a great person to follow for that because I don't update that often and I only say things when I have to. So, I am not going to inundate anybody with anything.
Yeah.
But I'll be doing a bunch of stuff for Assembly Required. It's going to be some fun stuff to watch. Some new paint jobs and some new fun stuff, and you know, I'm worth it. I'm really simple, not a lot of crazy barking about anything. And
yeah, if you weren't worth it, then you wouldn't have been on Toys on Tap. You are absolutely worth it.
Twice, baby.
There is still someone who has been on, I believe, 4 times.
Yeah,
and it is a wild thing, and I love them very much. I think 4.
Who's that?
Well, I have some issues. I think Last Bastion has been on 4 because it's, I think they came on and then I think I had Chris and then Wes and then I think they came on again. But Sucklords had 5. Ron English, when he's done, he will have 5. And
so, the Ron English ones are great, by the way. It's you know,
yeah.
It's nice when you talk to somebody older than me.
Yeah, he's really cool to talk to. He's fun.
You know, I appreciate where everybody's coming from, but every time I hear, and the pandemic happened and I didn't have anything else to do, and I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're going to head over to the nitty gritty. So thanks for coming on, man.